The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, it's the podcast I've been dreading for 72 hours. Just a heads up, this podcast went so long that we had to split it up into two parts. You're listening to part one right now of ESPN.com's Matthew Berry and myself. He beat me. He beat me in our much ballyhooed Simmonberry League fantasy basketball matchup. Beat me on the, really in the last 2 days, as my entire team mysteriously collapsed, and I have no explanation.
It shouldn't have been close in the first place, because if stupid Don Nelson had decided on Sunday instead of Tuesday, he was benching Jamal Crawford for the week, just to, you know, basically anger him so much that Jamal Crawford will opt out at the end of the year, and I could have put anyone else in there, I would have blown you away.
Well, but I could counter with the fact that I had Charlie Villanueva, who was on fire, and then decided to Twitter his 1,600 fans at halftime and went from playing like 45 minutes a game to 12. So I thought that canceled each other out. The reason you beat me, and by the way, this is Matthew Berry on the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline.
Thank you.
You can reach Matthew Berry on ESPN.com. You can listen to him on ESPN Radio or watch him on ESPN 1, 2, ESPN Classic, ESPN Deportes.
I haven't learned Spanish yet. I'm still working on Deportes.
The Ocho.
Yeah, the Ocho,
on all
sure.
These platforms.
Yeah.
But the reason you won is your best player outperformed my best player. Chris Paul, you got 7 great games out of him.
Yep.
I got 6 out of 7 games from Dwayne Wade, who didn't really do that well.
And Rajon Rondo tanked down the stretch there. I mean, you got a 50-point game out of Pau Gasol, though. He did have one huge, a 50-point meaning 50 fantasy points in the head-to-head scoring that we do. I mean,
but really, these things. The funny thing about fantasy is it really just comes down to your best guy,
right?
For the most part, especially in basketball.
Is this why you hate Twitter, because of Charlie Villanueva?
Yeah, that's
so
one of the reasons. I'm very anti-Twitter, and one of the reasons is that Charlie Villanueva cost me the fantasy basketball title. But anyway, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm very excited. It's important. I'm glad that you talked a lot of trash.
I did.
And you mocked my $4 Shaquille O'Neal in the auction. You openly mocked him.
Made a big difference. Actually clinched the title for you on Sunday night,
ironically. He did. He had over 1,700 points. He scored a lot more for me than Gerald Wallace did for you.
Yeah.
As much as David West did for you.
Well, I'd heard that they were going to rest him on back-to-back games, which they did, until about the 45-game mark, and then they fell so behind in the playoff race that they just had to keep trotting them out there. The Amari injury helped.
I knew all this was happening. I knew the Amari injury was going to happen. I was able to predict everything down to the last moment here. But here's what's exciting. So you have to you got to grow a Fu Manchu, dude. When's this happening?
Well, it actually could be any sort of facial hair that you choose, I thought.
Oh, I
can. You can make me try to grow a locksmith handlebar mustache from the 1780s.
I like. I can make you do a Raleigh Fingers. I could make you do a little soul patch. Maybe I'll make you go Hasidic Jew with some payas.
That would be interesting. I'd fit in right near the neighborhood where I live. It was the most important thing, and the lesson I want all the listeners to hopefully learn is that we invited 8 listeners into this league.
Right.
We handpicked them. And in the finals, we're Matthew Berry and Bill Simmons. The cream rises to the top, my friends.
Over 6,000 people entered this stupid league, and everyone that entered was like, I'm the best fantasy basketball player ever. Mm. The 8 guys that we played against talked a lot of trash. One of them even started a blog to talk about how much he was going to beat the two of us.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
The cream rises to the top.
That's right. That's right. And then in the head-to-head finals, of course, also continued to rise to the top. It's exciting for me.
I got no comeback because I lost.
Right. Like my Lakers and your Clippers.
Yeah. Well, like your Lakers and my Celtics.
well, too bad your Celtics won't be in the finals this year. My Lakers in the unclaimed Cavs.
Well, Lee, but the great thing about the Celtics not making the finals this year, and I don't think they will either, is the fact that we have the built-in excuse of the KG knee injury, which now I can blame. And now it's like, yeah, we lost, but if KG had been healthy, I can do that thing all summer.
Whatever makes you sleep at night.
Well, you're not going to beat the Cavs either, unfortunately.
You don't know that.
You're not going to win a game. Nobody is going to win in Cleveland in the playoffs. And the Cavs fans are like, stop.
Lakers won in Cleveland this year. That's the one loss.
It's not going to happen in the playoffs. It's not going to happen.
Listen, it's not the Cavs' turn yet.
They want
Kobe to get another title. They want Kobe to have a title without Shaq.
Unfortunately, I think Kobe's turn was last year, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Last year, the stars kind of aligned. Yeah. Well, the refs, stop it.
Come on, game two. All right, whatever. We're going to get off on a tangent. You and I could do an hour on Lakers Celtics.
But admit that you blew a 25-point lead in game four of the NBA Finals.
Well, I wouldn't say we. I wasn't missing shots.
Your team.
We did. Well, my team did. We did blow that lead. On the other hand, you guys blew a lead too. So, you know.
You blew a 25-point lead.
You guys blew a lead, and had we gotten any kind of calls like the way, you know, you guys got the calls in game two, we would have won that game.
Your entire team quit in game six.
Yes.
Everyone. Everyone on the roster, including the coach.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I agree.
You didn't deserve to win, but I felt like the stars probably had aligned, and I don't know. The Lakers looked tired to me. A lot of games in the odometer. Yeah. Kobe played the Olympics.
Of course. They weren't up against the weak East. They couldn't take nights off. They were in the West. They were in the toughest conference. Last year's Western Conference, Bill, was the toughest conference in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, it's true. This year, not as tough. It's a good top nine, and that's about it.
Right. And they won that conference. Meanwhile, the Celtics are going through, you know, seeds like the Hawks, who aren't even a 500 team last year. Teams that aren't even a 500 team are making the playoffs in the East. So that's why the Celtics had home court, is they were able to just scoot through the East.
I would say the Hawks were a little frisky, though, in round one compared to what you saw at Denver.
Well, I would agree with that, but I think also
Denver, the Celtics, ideal matchup.
Oh my God, so great!
But
so great.
So who do you? Right. I mean, so you're going to be number one. So you're going to play Dallas?
It's looking that way.
I mean, that's so ideal.
It's gonna work on. If we get Bynum back, suddenly it's we. Now, last year when they blew the lead, suddenly it's them. Now it's we, right? If we get Bynum back, I like our chances.
But you get him back.
You
get him back in the position that he always should have been in, which is the backup center and anchor of the second team offense.
Listen, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
I got a great email about Kobe from a reader, and unfortunately, I don't have time to dig it up. No, not the kind of email I normally get about Kobe.
Right.
He was saying that he's noticed this weird phenomenon with Jason Kidd, that when Jason Kidd guards LeBron, Kobe, or Dwayne Wade, he frequently gets thrown on those guys.
Right.
Those guys have so much respect for him that they almost don't want to murder him, even though they could. They could just go by him or do whatever they want. And it's like respectful. They'll end up shooting 20-footers because they don't want to just eviscerate him. And his theory was that Jason Kidd is the only guy right now who could legitimately stop Kobe because for some reason he saps Kobe's killer instinct.
Huh.
What do you think of this theory?
That's an interesting, the pity theory.
It's the pity theory. I like it. And now if I'm Dallas, I just have Kidd guard Kobe the whole time. And Kobe feels bad the whole time as he's destroying this great leader of the 2000s.
It's the same sort of thing like you go see, like, I don't know, like back in the day when you'd like go see, not that I would ever would, but like you'd see like Milton Berle on TV on a talk show. He's clearly towards the end of it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you get pity laughs.
Yeah.
You know, like you didn't want to say like, well, Milton, you still don't have it. You don't have it anymore.
That's Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Dallas is to compete in that series,
who's
my
the female
to them,
equivalent of that? Who's the female equivalent who's no longer hot, but
Meg
just,
Ryan?
Yeah, good call. Very
you know
good
what?
Call.
I was
no
watching.
Long, yeah.
Well, I was watching Proof of Life, which is in the rotation lately on cable,
right.
on a lot of channels, and it always sucks me in. And I'm convinced. First of all, I'm convinced possibly the most underrated movie this decade.
Really,
I mean,
I've never seen
the complete
it.
List. Yeah, it's really good. But she's the weak link because it was right after she did that kind of Joker tightening of the face that made
her look,
you know, and
she did that boxing movie, right?
Yeah, it was right around when her face started to look weird.
Right.
And if it had been anybody else, I think that movie makes it bigger than it did. I recommend that one though. I think you should.
Kirstie Alley might be one of them too.
I know it's tough for you to watch movies when you're on TV or radio 22 hours a day.
Listen, I'm trying. Stop it for a second. I'm trying to catch up to you. Here's the thing. You know, and I heard the Klosterman podcast, which is fantastic. Yeah. And he's absolutely right. Here's the thing. You've got this big old Bill Simmons box right there on the front page of ESPN.com.
So you want my box?
Right. No, okay. Listen, I'm not saying I want your box. Your box is well deserved. But my point
Joe
is...
Joe Beard, you could cut this into something very provocative. Matt Barry doesn't want my box. Go ahead.
Please. Come on. Well, you haven't offered me your box, Bill.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, you know what, some of us are trying to, look, I'm a squirrel just trying to get a nut, man. I'm trying to get out there. If you wanted any of this stuff, here's the thing. You could have any of this stuff. You just don't want it. But you don't need it. You're Bill Simmons. So you're you're Bill Simmons in capital letters.
I did get jealous when you argued with Skip Bayless on First Take about fantasy, though.
Oh, thanks. That was fun, actually.
Yeah. Is Skip, like, do they just keep him in a cage? How does that work? they feed him raw meat, and it's time for the beginning of that show, and they unleash him from the cage, and he just goes
Skip,
nuts?
You know what Skip is? He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
No, he is. He's a genuinely nice guy. Like, before we went on that segment, Skip said to me, he says, you got no chance of convincing me on this, but just so you know, I think you do really good work. I really enjoy it. Like, I mean, you know, like, and very genuine about it. Like, I mean, he was just like, he wasn't saying it like, you ain't winning it, but he was just like, I've got no interest in fantasy, but hey, I think, you know, what you do is, it was very, like, nice. But anyway, my point is.
Hold on. I got one follow up on Skip.
Go ahead.
There was an old famous quote by old Celtics GM Jan Vogt about Bill Laimbeer where he called Laimbeer the consummate provocateur. And I think there's a role in the sports media of provocateur. And
right.
I think Skip has positioned himself as the provocateur. Like, he's sticking to this LeBron thing.
Yeah.
I watch First Take. I have it on in the morning sometimes.
People love to hate Skip. You know?
Well, that is an interesting media position where you can get people to like you, but also some people to not like you too. And I know I do it personally. I probably antagonize the Laker fans a little bit. But they probably like being antagonized.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
That's one of the ways I've made my career with that exact thing. Is like, because like my attitude was, and I said this in a column recently. My biggest influence as a personality or talent or whatever you want to call me is Howard Stern. Not any other sports writers, anything like that. You know that scene in Private Parts where they go to Howard Stern and the guy they can't believe how big the ratings are, and they go to him and they say like, I can't believe, how are the ratings? And he's just like, well, because, you know, average Stern fan listens like 2 hours and 10 minutes. Biggest reason is, you know, can't wait to see what he says next. Average Stern hater listens 2 hours and 40 minutes. Can't wait to see what he says next. And, you know, I always took that to heart. It's just like, you know what? It doesn't matter if they love or hate you. It's as long as they care about what you're saying that matters. And I don't ever take a position just to be controversial. I believe everything I write and say. But my point is that, you know, I took a lot of lessons from Stern, in that, you know, like completely writing about my personal life, trying to be as open and honest as I can, and working for a big media company now, that's, you know, I'm not Bill Simmons. You know, I've tried to not be scared of controversy and not be afraid to say, like, I think this guy sucks or I think this guy, because, you know, there's only so many ways you can do stats.
I am trying to push the boundaries for everybody.
Yes, you are. You are. There's
no question.
For all
the people. Well, I had a big landmark this week. I finally got them. They always used to change boobs in my column to breasts. The boobs are they're. It looks funnier in print.
Yes,
it's
totally.
More. It's people. Guys don't say breasts.
Right.
I can't. I always lisp it when I say it. Like, it's just not a word I like to say. It doesn't read right. And in the last two mailbags, they ran with boobs.
You've
which
won.
Is very
the,
exciting.
You've won the great boob. Battle of 09?
I did.
Nice. Congratulations.
And I wanted to ask you about that because I had an email in there from a reader who was talking about breast virginity.
Right. I want to get back to the ombudsman thing.
Second. I'm not going to be the ombudsman. They're going to go outside the company.
Well, I agree. But what I was going to do is I was going to ask you to be the ombudsman here on this podcast for ESPN Fantasy.
Yeah.
And I was going to be the ombudsman for the BS report.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, there's only one ombudsman. We can't be the ombudsman for our own.
Just for right now. I was gonna ask you about a couple of things. So
I'm not helping ESPN Fantasy at all until they start doing playoff ideas. I should be able to be in a playoff NBA. I should be in an NBA playoff league. I should be able to start and be in an auction with my friends and do a league. It makes me mad that I can't do that.
It's on the list. It's on the list. I don't have anything to do with the technology. Those guys do a great job. They work really hard. It's on the list. Hey, you know what? You love our auction draft software.
Yes.
You love our Streak for the Cash.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did you see what we're doing with the new Streak for the Cash?
No.
We start a new one this week, and what it's going to be is in December, the seven people with the highest amount of streaks are coming to Bristol, and they're going to have a pickoff. So we're definitely giving away $1 million. The top seven streaks are coming here like in the second week of December, and let's face it, what's better than Bristol in December? But they're going to come here, and they're going to have a pickoff against each other, and they'll have to pick games, and they'll have to pick a certain amount in a certain amount of time, and basically, we will give away $1 million. So that's kind of cool.
It's very cool, but I think you need a better name than Pickoff.
Okay. What do you got for us?
I don't know. That makes me think they're all going to pick their noses or something. I don't know. It's got to be a better name for that, right?
Yeah.
Seven people.
Hey, why don't you ever do TV? Why don't you ever do TV? Like, you're always saying, like, oh, I'm on TV all the time. You could do TV as much as you want to.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. You've got the good gig.
But you like doing TV, though.
I do.
We're different. I mean, I don't think either of us right. It's just you enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I agree. But my point is like, you're like, oh, you're so overexposed or whatever. My point is, that could easily be you if you wanted it. You just don't want it. Nor do you need it.
I didn't say you were overexposed.
Oh, okay.
I say you enjoy being exposed.
Totally. Completely.
You're like a dude exposing yourself in a raincoat at like some, some playground.
Thank you very much. Hi, I'm your creepy fantasy analyst.
But this is really your wheelhouse right now. I mean, you're talking like late March, early April. This is when
March and August. Those are my two big months.
And would you throw in? I guess like right before NBA playoffs, as football is really in full swing with pickups and stuff. That's a pretty good time. Like late October. No.
Yeah, but I mean, just preseason football, preseason baseball. Those are my two biggest months. Football's huge. All throughout the football season.
What'd you do when you took a month off?
I went to LA for a week. My brother got married. My brother Jonathan got married to his beautiful wife Mimi.
You took a week off in January.
In January, and went.
I went to LA,
which is where I lived, and visited some friends. You and I saw a Clipper game.
Yeah.
And I went, and I was best man at my brother's wedding. So I did that. I went to the Super Bowl and took a week there. Like I spent a week in Florida leading up to the Super Bowl and just sort of relaxed, slept in.
Did you do a fantasy detox program or anything?
Totally. I didn't look at anything at all.
Did you really not, or could you not help it?
No, I totally did. I didn't. And then it took a little while to get up to speed. Like on our last podcast, I got, you know, because for 5 seconds I forgot that Joey Gathright wasn't on the Royals anymore.
Right.
And, like, I got some angry emails about, like, a couple of blogs dogging me about that. And it's like, whatever. For five seconds I forgot that Gathright wasn't on the Royals anymore.
Well,
you're trying to get up to speed.
Yeah, but anybody who's – people don't realize when you're talking off the cuff and you're ad-libbing and sometimes you forget, it's not like writing in front of your computer. You're going to remember stuff a lot more easily.
Exactly.
But, and we also – we didn't realize at the time when we did that Mark Tian was going to be the second baseman for the Royals.
I knew he had been working out at second base, that they had been talking about it, but they'd also signed Bloomquist and Calapso was on the team, and there just wasn't sure whether his defense was going to be strong enough for second base. So, you know, I knew it was, but at the time that we had that, I thought it was a real long shot that he would get the second base gig.
Let's hit that 1 second. I just want to throw some of these boobs emails at you.
I had a thing in my mailbag
about breast virginity. And you know what? As I realized...
Are you a boobs guy? Are you a boob man?
Who isn't?
Well, some people are, you know, ass men. They say that, you know, there's boob men and ass men.
Mm.
I'm a boob guy.
Those are often the people who end up picking up transsexual prostitutes at 5 a.m.
I realized as
I sifted through the emails is that I think the first glimpse of a boob had a much more substantial impact in the 70s and 80s than it does now because of the internet and because cable. There's so much stuff on now.
Because 12-year-olds are texting their boobs to each other.
Yeah, I mean
that's what it is. Like it. Do you ever hear these stories and you're just like,
I have a daughter.
I'm just saying when you were in high school, Bill. I'm just saying, when you were in, do you ever hear these stories about these crazy high school, and you're just like, man, I grew up at the wrong time.
I used to think that, and now I think my daughter's 9 years away, and I just get really sad. But I'm going to send her to an all-girls school. I decided that one recently.
You know what? Listen, by all means, shelter her as much as possible, be as strict as possible, because those girls never go wild.
That will work out perfect for Lee. Well, what's the other option?
Don't let guys anywhere near her.
Oh man, I'm just screwed.
Yeah, I think your other option, I think, I'm being dead serious here, I think is to drink yourself to death. Before she ever gets to high school.
Oh man, I'm so frightened.
I don't blame you.
Let's talk about boobs.
All right.
So I hit a whole bunch of the examples in the mailbag, but I forgot that the readers emailed.
I had a bunch too when I read that in the mailbag. I had a bunch too.
Well, the Porky shower scene.
Porky shower scene, absolutely. Yeah, that's on my list.
The two most common were the Porky shower scene and then the Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh yeah, with the pie.
Well, the cameras.
Well, they put the cameras in, and then they put the girl on in the pie, the blonde. She's the that's how they win the pie.
Betty.
Pie eating contest. Betty.
Got
Betty
a lot
Grable.
Of emails about Betty.
Betty Grable.
Betty Grable. Yeah.
And Stan, whatever his name was. Ted McGinley, who, by the way, have you ever met Ted? You know, I met him when I worked on ESPN, not ESPN, on Married with Children, when I wrote on Married with Children.
Yeah.
Literally the nicest guy in the world. Literally the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And one of those guys that, like, has a great sense of humor about himself. Like, I remember him telling me, he was just like, when he joined Married with Children, like, in its fourth season, he'd just come off Love Boat and Happy Days, and he'd killed both those two shows.
Right.
And he was just like, yeah, guys, this is one and done. Save your money. I'm here. I'm the death of this all.
And he killed, like, four more shows
after
that. Oh,
yeah, totally. Totally.
Well, the girl who played Betty Childs was named Julia Montgomery.
Julia Montgomery.
Who knew Julia Montgomery?
Oh, Stan Gable and Julia Montgomery. Right.
Well, she played Betty.
Betty Childs.
So the three boob chick in Total Recall. Amazingly, the first boobs for a couple of the readers out there. Yeah. Julie Warner and Doc Hollywood. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. The nude scene coming out of the ocean.
Same for Jake Ryan's girlfriend in 16 Candles.
Yep. Good. I got a couple for you.
This one I was furious. Just furious that I forgot this one. Because it actually earned her a sitcom down the road. Leah Thompson and All the Right Moves.
Leah Thompson and All the Right Moves. Yeah. Boy, God. She was, for a while there, crazy hot.
Crazy, crazy, super duper hot.
Yeah.
And then she became Marty McFly's mom.
I know, which was weird. But she had sex with a duck.
Yep. Under Siege, Erica Eleniak.
Jumped out of a
birthday cake.
Former Playboy playmate.
Beverly D'Angelo in Vacation. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I had Vacation on my list, too.
And in Coming to America, there were the girls in the hot tub with Arsenio and his friend.
Well, yeah. At the beginning.
Blame it on Rio, some people mentioned. I think that was a little too racy.
Totally blame it on Rio. Yeah. That Demi Moore pre-boob job.
Right, but...
The great thing about Blame It on Rio is Demi Moore's the ugly chick in that movie. Like, she's the one that's not desirable. And it's all about the other girl, Michael Caine. Yeah.
Michelle Johnson, I think her name was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Blame It on Rio, though. If you're seeing that when you're 10, your parents have done something wrong.
Yeah.
About Last Night... Which was Demi Moore.
Also Demi Moore pre-boob job in the bathtub.
He Got Game had the threesome with Jill Kelly and Chasey Lane.
Right.
Forgot about that one.
Yep.
And then everything else you can read in the column. What were your examples?
All right. Well, for me personally.
Yeah. Well, who'd you lose your best virginity to?
Spy Who Loved Me. Spy Who Loved Me, the James Bond movie. I went when I was like, I don't know, 9 or something like that. And there's side boob in the shower. In the shower scene, James Bond.
See, I don't count side boob. I need to really see him.
Then if it wasn't that one, probably Stripes.
Nice. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
I actually made a cutoff as I was discussing with one of my friends last night. I think the cutoff for whether it counts or not is an airplane when the girl runs in front of the camera and shakes up and down for a second and runs off.
Right.
It has to be at least that kind of exposure to count as an official virginity.
So there was a decent amount in Stripes and the mud wrestling scene, of course.
That's a solid choice. Stripes was like 1981, no real cable yet.
Yeah, and I got one more for you that actually this was just right when cable started, but I must have seen this movie 100 times. You ever? It's a terrible movie called Hard Bodies.
Yeah.
Yep. Where it was like the cool guys teach the old creepy guys how to pick up chicks.
It's a great one.
Oh, it's so good. Such a good movie.
I'm gonna IMDb that. Yeah.
What about Bachelor Party? Bachelor Party's another one.
That's another one. Hey, do you know who is in Hard Bodies? Who is one of my favorite that guys ever that everybody knows who he is?
Who's that?
The redheaded guy.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, he had like some like Skeets or Skills or some weird name like that. Like he had a nickname.
He was called Rag.
Rag, that was it. Rags. He was Rags.
So this guy in the 80s, his name is Courtney Gaines.
Right.
He plays Malachi in Children of the Corn. That's how his career starts off. That's the starter.
Right.
Hard Bodies, Secret Admirer, he's one of the buddies.
Right.
He's in Back to the Future for a little bit. He was in Rat Boy. And he was in Can't Buy Me Love. He played the You Blanked on My House guy.
Oh, my God. Can't Buy Me Love.
He was Patrick Dempsey crapped through the crap at his house.
Right, 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 right.
That's a nice career in 5 years. Those are a lot of nice movies.
You know what? He's God
Courtney
bless
Gaines.
Him.
I might have to have him on the
podcast.
You
should have him on the BS report.
I was thinking about it, like every month I'd have one that guy.
Right. You should. You should. Or just do 5 minutes with that guy.
Let's talk about fantasy baseball.
Right.
Let's
go into your wheelhouse. Let me roll out one more. I have a couple more boob ones, though.
Oh, please. By all means.
Risky Business has to be in there. I'm sure people... Risky Business was big.
Good call.
Rebecca De Mornay. Mm-hmm. I have to think Blue Lagoon is another one.
I thought about that, but it's a... Wasn't that a breastfeeding scene? That's... Yeah, I guess
though. Well, I thought... but isn't she in the ocean, swimming. Isn't she topless in the, when they're swimming? I haven't seen him forever.
Yeah, they had a body double, though.
Oh, that might have been it. And then, you know what? I have to think that there's some people out there that, you know, the Paris Hilton video, the Pam Anderson video.
Oh, wow.
The Pam Anderson Tommy Lee video.
What? There's videos? What?
and by the way, have you ever watched one of these Girls Gone Wild? They're mesmerizing.
Yeah, that, and I was also, you know, going that same route. Like, there's probably for First and Ten. Remember First and Ten on HBO?
Oh yeah,
and The Hitchhiker.
Yeah,
that probably might have been the one. But again, I think you have to remember it. You have to remember the moment. And
any episode of Real Sex.
Yep, and unless you're Joe Mead, you're all going to have that moment out there. Hollywood.
Joe Mead never had a bachelor party. Question.
Joe Mead is like, you know what? My God, do you watch Friday Night Lights?
I don't know. I know, it's one of those shows. That show, 24, I gotta catch up on DVD. There's like a couple of shows that I've just never seen.
I was gonna say, Barry's like the freshman quarterback, J.D. McCoy, who's got the Todd Marinovich type dad. Doesn't let him drink or party or anything, and then when he finally lets loose, he just goes crazy at this frat party, or high school party, or whatever. I think that was Joe Mead, the first drink he had.
I think that's right. And by the
bonkers.
Way, that's gonna be your daughter too. You know that, right?
No, unfortunately, by the time she turns 10, they'll probably be doing cake shots in elementary school. I'm so bummed out. So bummed out. Hey, fantasy baseball.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I'm doing my research.
Okay.
But only for the American League because that's the only league I care about. So you're gonna.
You and I are in an auction tomorrow, right?
I know, but Gus is handling it.
Oh, you're not going to be on that one?
Well, I only gave him AL stuff. I can't. I don't have time to follow the NL. I've thrown myself into the AL. I'm in this. My league has a minor league draft this year where we have the number two and number three picks.
Okay.
So if you want to know anything about the top 200 prospects in the American League, I'm your guy.
Or Jason Gray on ESPN.com.
Or Jason Gray.
Yeah.
So I have some thoughts. The first thought is this. I think Texas is going to hit this year.
Yeah.
I think if you have a Texas guy, you're in good shape.
I agree with you. I love Nelson Cruz.
They're going to have bats, and they're going to be in a lot of like 8-7, 9-8 games. They're in a bad division. They're in a division the Angels suddenly have no pitching. The Mariners basically have Felix and Eric Bernard if he's healthy, but that's really about it. And Oakland, you know, now that Duescher's out, it's like... Yeah, they're throwing in rookies and guys who are like a year away. Like, that division could suck.
It could suck. I think you're insane if you think the Rangers have any shot at winning this.
I don't know if they have any shot at winning.
No,
I just think they
have
score 7-8.
I know, Bill, they don't. Last night I was in I'm not kidding you, a 19-team auction.
I believe you. No Rangers starters got picked.
No, Kevin Millwood went in the reserve round.
Right.
Like pick number 300 and something. They have no pitching whatsoever. I think their offense is awesome, yeah. Oakland has better starting pitching than you think. Assuming Lackey, and this is a big assumption, but if Lackey and Kelvin Escobar are healthy, the Angels will be fine. And by the way, Eric Bedard, Felix Hernandez, you know, now Brandon Morrow's in the bullpen, but you know, Seattle's going to be better than people think, too.
A lot of health question marks. I don't care about the Texas pitching. I just care about them being in 9-8 games, which I think is going to happen.
Listen, Nelson Cruz last year hit 37 home runs in AAA. hit 330, 7 home runs, 26 RBIs in 31 games last year, and a cup of coffee. Nelson Cruz is going to have a monster year. And you look at them, they've got Kinsler, they've got Josh Hamilton. I like their they've got a catching duo of Taylor Teagarden and Jared Saltalamacchia.
Offensive.
Very offensive. If you weren't really paying attention last year, Chris Davis had a monster second half. He's going to play first base for him. He qualifies at third as well. They got this kid, Elvis Andrus, who's probably going to steal 35 bases for him at shortstop because they moved Michael Young over to third.
Yeah.
I'm with you. David Murphy.
Not terrible.
David Murphy's going to, steal double-digit bases. He's going to hit double-digit bases. He's going to hit 285. And by the way, if I was in a deep AL-only league, right?
Yeah.
I think it's worth a buck at the end to take a flyer on Andrew Jones.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else.
What, Marlon Byrd or something?
They had this kid named Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
Who was the top college hitter drafted last year, who lit it up in spring training and is probably coming back in
June. Got a lot of bats down there. They got a lot of bats. He's a little blocked.
They might trade one of the catchers.
They also have a kid named Max Ramirez, right?
Yeah. And they have Neftali Feliz is coming up as a starter. Maybe in June, who's supposedly got Liriano Felix potential. I haven't seen him. But
Arlington, they're going to be a very good fantasy team. And yeah. I like Frank Francisco as a closer, actually. He was very good in September.
I like their bullpen. They have C.J. Wilson's their lefty.
Yeah.
And Everyday Eddie is involved.
Right. Yeah. Old. I wonder what Eddie Guardado's boob virginity was taken by.
I'll go this far, Matthew Berry.
Go ahead. Bill
Don't
Simmons.
Think I didn't step in. 10-1 odds, Rangers, AL West.
Really? Bill Simmons took a sports bet. Fascinating.
10-1. 10-1
odds.
Stop
the presses.
10-1 odds.
I would think it would be more than that. Just to win the AL West, 10-1?
85 wins is going to win that division.
I don't mind the bet. I just think, I don't think you got good odds. I would think the Rangers are bad as they, 10-1?
You can't get better division odds than 10-1.
Can you not?
Yeah, especially in a bad division.
I don't sports bet. I never do it. Because I have more than enough with fantasy, and
let's talk about your Angels.
All right, let's talk about my fighting Halos.
Well, you have your top three starters. John Lackey's hurt.
Right.
Irvin Santana might have Tommy John surgery.
It's
might pitch 200 innings. We don't know, but
right.
It looks more toward the Tommy John side. And then Escobar, I know he's throwing well in spring training. But
right, he'll be back by the end of April. I really like Escobar. I think Joe Saunders was a fluke last year.
And he's supposedly, there's an article today, though, about Joe Saunders' dead arm.
Yeah. Joe Saunders, I am not touching with a 10-foot pole. Just everything went his way last year. He's all the underlying skill, all the underlying stats, and I won't bore your audience with it, but just trust me on this one. Unless you get Joe Saunders super, super cheap, just stay away.
And you have new closer?
I'm not worried about Fuentes, actually. I think Fuentes will be fine. And we got a kid named Jose Arredondo.
We talked about him.
Yeah, we talked about him. So I think he's going to be real good. But again, I think there's some nice sleepers there for the Angels. Juan Rivera is a guy that I love. Last time he got over 400 at bats, he hit 23 home runs. Now that was 2006. He's got to stay healthy and stay on the field. But finally, the playing time is there with the departure of Teixeira. He's always been able to hit. He's just never been able to get on the field.
I had him last year, and first of all, he never gets on base unless it's an actual hit. He's one of those guys. He's the 290 batting average with 300 on base.
Right.
But the thing that concerns me, if I was an Angels fan, is that everybody's doing so much studies about defense and the value of defense and the Rays, what they did last year with defense in Minnesota. And here you have the Angels that have Bobby Abreu, Juan Rivera, and Vlad Guerrero. All penciled in for like 550 at bats.
Yeah, but one of them's going to DH. Torrey Hunter's going to be out there in center field.
Yeah, one of them's going to DH, but the other two aren't. Where do you play the other two?
Play them in left and right. Yeah, they'll be all right.
And supposedly, my man Joe Sheehan, your fellow Angels fan,
yes.
Joe Sheehan said that that Torrey Hunter's defensive stats were a little bit down last year.
They were a little bit down. Joe Sheehan's a smart guy. I know Joe well. And I don't think he's wrong about that. Listen, I don't think the Angels are a great defensive outfield, but it's not like last couple of years, like Garrett Anderson, it's like, too bad GA isn't in there diving for stuff.
I mean,
come on. Like, when Gary Matthews Jr. didn't have a great defensive year last year either. So, I Abreu's fine. By the way, I think Abreu's gonna have a monster offensive year.
Because I like him too.
He's going to hit 20 home runs, and the Angels run. So, and he's a good on base guy. He's going to get on base. He's going to steal.
And you know what else? He wasn't. you know, people think he didn't have a great year last year. He actually had a really good second half.
He had a very good
quietly.
Second half. Yeah.
And gets on base. But I think he's more of, depends if your league factors on base or batting average. Mine does on base, which makes him more valuable. But what do you think of the Oakland roster? The Oakland offense?
I think the death of Matt Holliday as fantasy stud is ridiculous. You know, guy hit 308 on the road last year. Okay.
Yep.
He hit last 3 years on the road. He's hit, I want to say, this is off the top of my head, but I want to say it's like 292, 295, something like that. He's a very good hitter. He's still going to hit 30 home runs. He's still going to drive in 100 RBIs. Last year, he stole over 20 bases. I think he stole 28. So you have that, okay, because Oakland runs more than people realize. They were middle of the pack in Major League Baseball last year in terms of stolen bases. So let's half that. 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, a 300 batting average, and 15 stolen bases. It's a second round. That's a late first round, second round guy, especially if you play at ESPN where we've got five outfielders. You don't play on one of those other sites where you only play three outfielders. You play wimpy fantasy baseball. And so outfield is fairly shallow this year, actually. So Holliday is a guy that I think is going in the fourth round and should be going in the second. And by the way, when the A's are out of it, he's going to be traded at midseason because it's a contract year for him.
I love them too. Two things scare me. The ballpark is just miserable. And then Buster had a random thing he threw in his blog today about how scouts are saying Holliday looks noticeably thinner and he only had two extra base hits in spring training.
It's spring training.
I know, but that's just weird. I don't like the noticeably thinner part, especially in this era.
I think that's a red flag. It's definitely a red flag. I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned about it.
When I see Matthew Berry and I say, wow, Matthew Berry looks noticeably thinner, that's a positive. When I see my guy who I'm penciling in for 35 homers go, wow, he looks noticeably thinner, I'm concerned.
It's a negative.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think you've ever seen me and said, oh, wow, you look noticeably thinner. I don't think anyone's ever said that.
It might happen. Maybe you'll go on some sort of weird, protein-only fish diet.
Maybe I should get off the juice. maybe it's time.
Maybe you need the juice. What do you think of Giambi?
I think Giambi's going to be okay. I think he's going to be, 20, 25 homers. I think he'll actually be okay back in Oakland. So I think, I sort of like him. They've got a couple of underrated guys there in the middle infield, right? Mark Ellis, he's not going to help your batting average, but people don't realize Mark Ellis had double-digit home runs last year and like 14 stolen bases. Same with Orlando Cabrera. Orlando Cabrera has double-digit home runs, steals, and like a 280 average in the bank. He's probably going to steal 20 bases.
I got to say, I think Giambi is going to be terrible.
Really?
We had an awful second half of the year. Awful. I mean, I'm talking like he batted like 220 or something. I had him on my team. He's really bad. And now he's going to this ballpark. He's in a much worse lineup. And he's going to a ballpark that just stinks if you're a hitter.
Right. But on the other hand, he also is going to a ballpark that he knows well. He's getting out of the limelight. Yeah, he hit 239 after the All-Star break. Hit 253 before it. But, whatever, 13 home runs versus 19 home runs before and about, 70 more at-bats. RBIs, 14 more. Pretty much, I'm just looking at the numbers here. He basically, what happened was, not surprising because he went down from 253 to 239, he struck out a lot more. He wasn't walking nearly as much. His strikeout to walk rate went down, but you can't really expect that to, continue. I like him.
I think he'll be okay. I have him, in July he batted 234, in August 232, September, October 226. With a total of 15 homers in those 3 months. So he must have had one hot week right before the All-Star break that skewed his stats.
I mean,
but regardless though,
look, he's
39?
He is 38. But 07, okay, he had a terrible year, right? But three out of the last 4 years, he's hit at least 30 home runs and had at least 87 RBIs. You don't think he's going to get 25 home runs and hit 250?
Last time he's had 460 at-bats, guess.
Last time he had 460 at-bats would be 2003.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, he's going to get over 400 at-bats. Let me ask, forget the at-bats, blah, blah. If I'm saying here, Jason Giambi, 25 home runs, 85 RBIs, 250, you think that's outrageous?
I don't think he gets it in Oakland.
I think
you
he
know
does.
What else? I like the has-been.
I'll put a bet on that.
What are you saying for the exact
stats? I'm saying 25, 85, 250 for Giambi.
250 batting average?
250 batting average.
I'll bet on that.
All right. What's our bet?
$10.
$10, done. Way to go, big spender.
Do you like the has-been first base platoon with Giambi and Nomar?
Nomar ain't.
Is that unbelievable?
I know he's hitting well in the spring, but that ain't happening. Come on.
I thought Nomar was the righty guy in the platoon.
They've talked about it. I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, that wraps up part one of my conversation with Matthew Berry. Please make sure to look out for part two, which we put up at the same time as part one. Until then.
So I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
And that concludes another episode of the BS Report. And here's 55 more words that Bill Simmons intended to mention, but unfortunately ran out of time. Now you can get any regular piled-high Subway footlong for just $5. The keyword is any. The sweet onion chicken teriyaki, savory chicken and bacon ranch, the meaty taste bud pleasing Italian BMT. All the regular famous Subway footlongs, just $5. Subway, eat fresh. See store for details.